Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guests today are Micah and Nisha. So both Janelle and I know Micah. We grew up with him way back when. But we do not know his wife, so this will be interesting for the both of us to get to know her. So thank you guys for agreeing to be on the podcast.
You are welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
So to kick things off, could you tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, we are, I guess we're still newlyweds. I don't know when you stop saying that part, but we just recently celebrated our 3rd year married. We've been together about 10 years now, and we are new parents trying to figure things out and just trying to not kill each other every day.
She says that jokingly, but she's serious. She is funny when she is serious. I guess I would say the same. Like it's different, right? Because you have to kind of sacrifice yourself for others. And I'm saying that as somebody who's still learning to do that daily. Like, I mean, it's a growing process.
I don't think they all saw that yet.
Oh, I apologize.
They just said, tell them about yourself.
Well, I'm Micah, and my wife is Nisha, as she said. A couple of things that I like, I enjoy running.
This guy.
I don't know what to say.
It's not a Tinder profile.
I guess I would agree with everything that you said. I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what to say right now.
All right. No problem. So congratulations, you guys, on making it to 3 years so far.
Thank you.
But we're going to rewind a little bit. I know you said you guys knew each other for about 10 years. How did you guys meet?
So we've known each other much longer than that. We went to the same high school and we technically officially met there.
And when she says we've known each other, I knew her. She didn't know.
Well, we're getting to that part. Because apparently Micah was my stalker and I had no idea, but.
Yeah, I was stalking. I guess you could say that.
But we officially met like in high school. I kind of just knew of him. I would see him in gym class. That was about it.
That wasn't my gym class.
All right, we'll get to your part. So later, out of high school, I don't know if you guys ever did this, like when people on Facebook, like comment me a number and then I'll tell you a secret or whatever the thing was back then. And I think we did that. And Micah, like in my Facebook, like, oh, I've always had a crush on you. He gets really embarrassed when I tell the story.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
What is the truth?
He's like, oh, I've always had this crush on you. I thought you were so beautiful. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. We could be friends because that's all I was looking for. I was like, you know, here's my number. We could hang out because I didn't really know him. And he never called.
I'll tell you why.
So then like a couple years later, the same thing. He on Twitter this time, you know, he's across every social media platform. he slides him in the messages then and says like the same thing. I'm like, either this boy don't have no other lines or he forgot that he told me this like 2 years ago. So I gave him my number again and I was like, yeah, you know, we could be friends. And from there, we just, you know, started talking on the phone and developed a friendship. And now you can tell your version of it.
And actually, you called me.
I did.
You called me. I still didn't call her.
I did.
I still didn't call
her. Sir.
So, yeah. I think it was like freshman year. I had seen her in the hall and I was like, oh, yeah, I like that girl. Like, I was like, I'm gonna marry her. And you were in CSP, right? The college study program. So yeah, so like definitely thought she was out of my league. So I was like, you know what? Where I am in life, I cannot approach this person because if I mess this up, I'm gonna lose it. So I would just see her in the hallway and whatnot. I think senior year, was that senior year? That was your gym class?
I think that
might have
been like junior year.
It might have been junior year. Yeah. Well, she had gym when I had lunch. We knew some of the same people. So one of my friends had gym at that period. So instead of going to lunch, I would just go to gym with him. But plus, she was in the class. So some days I was going without eating lunch, which is not healthy, by the way.
No.
But yeah, I would go to the gym class and I would see her. She actually one time, I think we were playing volleyball and I was like playing in the net. She's like, "You are so annoying." And I was like,
I don't remember that, by the way. But it checks out. I mean, it seems like it's something that could have happened.
So, yeah, like you said, I don't remember how we started talking. I know you just explained it. I don't remember that.
You have selective amnesia. It's fuzzy.
But yeah, like I didn't call because even then I was like, you know, I tell her, I thought she would have been talking to a lawyer or a doctor. I didn't think she was, you know, even around here anymore. So I was like very surprised. And that she even gave me her number. And I was like, okay. But I was like, nah, I still don't have it together. I think I had like a trap car. It wasn't really reliable. Like I didn't have, you know, the best job. So I was like, oh, even if I wanted to do something, I can't do anything. And you know what? And thinking back on it now, you know, I could have probably talked to her because from there we could have built conversation and got to know each other more. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. But, you know, I was insecure at the time. I'm still insecure now, but I know enough now to know, you know, opportunities don't always come like this. So you have to make sure you go after them. You know, people say shoot your shot. And that's true. I forgot how to say it.
You miss every shot you don't shoot.
Miss every shot you don't shoot. Thank you. but yeah, so, and then the second time she gave me the number, same thing. I think I was going out of town actually.
Yeah, so.
So I had a job that was working with a sports company where they are the, what do you call that?
They don't care about all that.
The catering. And they had an opportunity for me to go out of town. So I was going out of town to work at another sports venue and actually lived there for like 6 months. And then I think you called me when I was actually packing.
Yeah. So how that came about, I guess what the kids say these days, I left him on red. He texts and then I didn't respond right away. And it wasn't like anything malicious. I just... like it was the furthest thing from my mind, but I was like, oh, this boy was trying to like be nice. And then I'm like blowing him off. So I was like, let me call him and let him know I'm not trying to be mean to him. And so I gave him a call and, you know, we just started talking from there. Like he said, he was living in Indiana at the time. So we're doing a lot of talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And I think we also like FaceTimed a couple of times.
Oh, no, baby. This 10 years ago, we Skyped.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So how did things move from, I guess, that you guys were Skyping and maybe talking on the phone to, because you, Nisha, had said you weren't really looking for anything, just a friend.
Yeah. And I was very adamant, like, oh no, we friends. And Micah was very, like,
we are not friends.
He was he says he's insecure and all that stuff, but he spoke to me very intentional. He was like, oh no, I don't want to be a friend. I'd like to be a boyfriend. And I'm like, no, but we're friends. So, so it was very much not in a negative way, friend zoning, but it was like, that's not what I'm looking for right now. Mm-hmm. And also, he had like all these preconceived notions of me, like, which he said, like, he thought I was dating a doctor, lawyer, and I was this very successful person. And while gracious, that wasn't my life. And so I spent a lot of the beginning of our friendship kind of like trying to get him to take me off this pedestal. So
it's just like, I can find you somebody, or we can look together. Or
not even that. I was just very candid with him, like, you know, these are the things that are going on in my life. You know, this is what I've been through. So a lot of times when people start dating somebody, they're, you know, sending their representative, their mm-hmm. best self, and they're trying to impress. And that wasn't what I was doing. I was trying to basically do the opposite. Like, I am not the girl that you think I am, because, you know, we had never talked. He thought like, oh, she might be a little uppity and stuff. And like, mm-hmm. then we started talking. He's like, oh, she's fun. She's funny. She likes some of the things that I like, because I even would tell him, like, what do you even like about me? You don't like me. You don't know me. Like, like, you sound crazy. Because he would say these things early on, like, I knew I was going to marry you. Boy, you don't know me. So I was like telling him all the time, like, no. And I didn't find out till later. He was like, I like believe this stuff, but I didn't. He was like, I was trying to speak it into existence.
The power of manifestation.
I love it. Look how that worked out.
He was on to something. So we, you know, because we were talking as friends every day, it turned into not, oh, this is my friend. It was like, I want to see what this person is doing today. Like, oh, I want to, you know, tell him how my day was. And mm-hmm. the fact that we were living in two different places, because I was living in Wisconsin at the time and he was in Indiana. We hadn't even seen each other. We were just strictly talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. And for me to want to, you know, talk to him or tell him what's going on, I'm like, well, maybe there's something there.
Yeah. So when did you guys make your official switch to we're going to be boyfriend, girlfriend?
We probably were talking on the phone maybe like 5 months or so. And he was talking about coming back here. But he, like, so I think, and he's going to say he doesn't remember, but I think Micah may have told me he loved me before we were even dating. And I kind of responded like, okay, thank you. Like, it was a lot.
Knife in the heart.
So he made it very clear how he felt. And so like one day we were on the phone, he's like, I gotta ask you something, but I don't know if I should. And you're gonna say no. And I was
this is awesome.
And I was like, man, stop being weird. Like, what you wanna say? He's like, you're gonna say no, so I'm not gonna ask you. And then I was like, just ask, what are you trying to ask me? And he was, I just want you to be my girlfriend. And I was like, all right. And then he's like, okay, yeah. I'm like, yeah, we talk every day. Why not? We can give it a real try.
Yeah, I get anxiety. and so like that was a very anxious situation. But yeah, everything she said about that was true. Just the fact that, you know, we were able to talk to each other in a long distance, I think kind of helped. Because there were days where, you know, I was working and talking on the phone. I had an earpiece in, and it helped get me through the days just because, you know, we're in a new area. We know some people. I went down there with some coworkers. So, you know, it was us, but I was, in a sense, almost isolated. So just having that, you know, conversation was good. And I think it kind of helped to benefit us because we still talk to this day, but I know we'll get more into that. But yeah.
So how long did you guys do the long distance dating?
It was only like 6 months. I was only there for like 6 months.
Well, we were talking before we were, and when we started actually dating, Mike came home. And he says it wasn't for me because he's like, no, I just couldn't do that anymore. In part, I felt like he was like, no, I gotta come and try to make this work.
No, I think some of it was a little both because the job was ending and where the sport I was working for, baseball, was starting back up. So it was a little bit of both. Now, the reason why I came back up to this area in the Lake County region is because of you, because at the time I was also staying in the city. I was staying with my grandmother. So I was like, you know what? I will take that trip for her. So, that's when gas was a little bit better on your pockets. But, the reason I came back up this way was actually also to be closer with her while I was still working there. Mm-hmm. And I think I worked there just through the remainder of that season and then gave that up.
So what was dating like for you guys?
Dating for us, because at that time, like, we weren't where either one of us wanted to be in our life, but we knew we were trying to build ourselves up. I had my own apartment previously, but I had at that time like moved in with my cousin, trying to help her with her new house and family. But at the same time, it kind of felt like, I don't have a house. I don't have anything that's mine. And likewise, Michael was, you know, in a job that he didn't really care for. So we were being frugal. So dates were, you know, creative or inexpensive. You know, we might have gone to movies and Chipotle and that was a date. But at the same time, I think that was a foundation for us because it wasn't like, oh, you know, you need to impress me and do this. And that was kind of laid out initially, you know, when we were talking to, because, you know, in talking, Michael was a little nervous, like, oh, I don't have anything to offer you. I don't live this lavish life.
Broke, y'all. broke.
But what he didn't even realize, because he didn't, you know me like that, I was like, my father worked in food service my whole life. And I was like, and took care of a family. So I respect someone who is going to do what they need to do to take care of their family. Instead of, you know, doing something illegal or whatever, I was like, you know, so I have a respect for somebody who's willing to do this type of job to get to, you know, eventually where you want to go. And so, you know, a lot of creative dates.
Yeah, we actually got the idea from, well, she found it. She's a big Pinterest person.
It was like Pinterest. A Pinterest
idea. Where it's like a date jar and you write the dates on a popsicle stick. We even had categories like $1 sign was like the least expensive, $3 signs was the most expensive. And we would just at random sometimes just pick from the jar and just do what the date said on the jar.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Like, you always hear like the Pinterest ideas and you see and it's like, oh, I want to do that, and then you never do it. That's cute that you guys actually did it.
Yeah.
Lord knows I have four of those pinned on my boards right now.
And the thing was, I think for both of us, like, we had, you know, dated other people before, but like, we both went into it like, we're giving this an actual try. Mm-hmm. So let's do actual couple-ish things, you know, to try to figure this out. And we, you know, we had some more expensive, if you will, dates that we went on, or, well, they were no cost to me. Like, I won some concert tickets one time. We went to a concert. Like,
dope.
Right. Like, that was one of our first dates.
That was our first date, I think, actually.
That might have been our first, like, outing date that we went on. That so, you know, we would do things like that.
Okay. So moving on a little bit further into your story, you guys have been dating and things like that. When did you know it was getting serious?
Well, and Michael was very like, this is it from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm serious from the beginning.
Like, so. And to a scary level almost. Like, I'm like, you sound crazy. Like, we taking this, you know, one day at a time. He's like, no, we're gonna be married. This is it. And I'm just like, okay. But with that in mind though, I kind of moved how he moved in terms of seriousness. Like, he is the first person I ever introduced to my family, like, as my boyfriend. Because, you know, you have your situationships and you're talking to whoever, and those people, I never, like, oh, yeah, this is, how do you even introduce that? But this is the first person, like, this is my boyfriend. So we knew with that mindset, it was, we were moving towards, you know, something stronger. Because it was, I wasn't like as deep as him, like, oh yeah, we about to be together forever. And, mm-hmm. But at the same time, it was like, I wouldn't have entered this if I wasn't like trying to do it for real. Mm-hmm. And I think probably within the first year, we didn't move in together right away, but we talked about moving in together within that first year. Mm-hmm. We talked about, and then, you know, we moved in together probably after like a couple years together. But before that, like, we were talking about, you know, getting engaged and things like that, which was a very big thing for me, like, because that wasn't like talks I had with anybody before.
Right. Was marriage a goal for either of you?
Yeah, I would say marriage was a goal for me. Like she said, I was very intentional. I just know I wanted to be with her. Like, she was funny. I thought she was beautiful. She was smart, and she is smart. Like, when they say, like, behind every strong Black man, there's a strong Black woman. I mean, sorry. Black woman. And like she has helped me so much in my life. And I appreciate her for that. Like, she actually taught me how to also, like, give grace to myself. And she was the reason why I started therapy. She was the reason why I decided I want to go back to school. Like, she's very supportive. And I appreciate her for that. But yeah, like, I was very intentional from the beginning, and like, glad that I made the right decision.
So he took that question in a different direction than I took it as. I took it as, like, was marriage a goal for you in life? And that's why I let him go first too, because I know his answer is different than mine. Because no, it was not a goal of mine. that's not just for him. Like, I was someone who did not see myself getting married. Oh. It, like, I was content. Like, oh, bet I'm gonna be like this 40-year-old cat lady. I'm gonna be kicking it. The mentality I had, like, because I had dated, but it wasn't like, I was like, I'm not for this love stuff and lovey-dovey stuff. Like, I'm not like, oh my God, I need the roses and this and that and on. Like that, I'm just not that type of girl. Mm-hmm. So it never was like, oh yeah, and I'm gonna get married and have this dress. And it so like for me to be having any sort of marriage conversation for him was like a big deal.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that answer.
And a lot of hard no.
Yeah.
It was a hard no. And a lot of people don't, and they like, if they don't know me, they think like, oh dang. Cause even in the beginning of our relationship, but just because I'm a very like straightforward, blunt person.
Very straightforward, very blunt. Like, she keeps it a buck.
And
like,
she's
honest.
And I'm expressive. So some people kind of took it as they were like, do you even like him? Why are you playing with that boy? Like, you don't even, why are you wasting his time? And I'm like, I like him. I didn't see myself in like this cookie cutter relationship though. Right. And that, you know, came actually a little later for us where I realized I didn't have to try to fit myself into what the image of marriage was like. It was going to be what worked for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did you guys get engaged?
What? Yeah, don't ask him.
He doesn't know what day it is. So,
well, she said when, babe.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that. Right.
I mean, if you know the story, you can tell us the story. That's fine too.
Okay.
Well, I think it was 2016 that we got engaged.
Okay.
You're
so, on.
Yeah. So she had. So, like she said, we were very frugal and, you know, we tried to communicate. So, like, we had access to each other's bank account. Mm-hmm. And I think I had bought the ring because we had talked about it.
Hold on, let me tell this. let me tell this story. So... I manage a lot of the bills. And what I do because, you know, to this day, we actually still have separate accounts, but on payday, I look at each account. And so on payday, I see like a large transaction that does not make sense. And when I logged out and logged back in, so I don't know if you know this or not, but with Bank of America, you can edit the name or description of the transaction.
Ooh.
Oh. So someone had went in, this guy, and edited it to say Amazon in all lower caps. Like, I'm thinking it's fraud.
No.
Because I'm like, what is this? And, you know, because I know... my partner, I was like, this is goofy. Like, and I'm like, so first of all, why are you buying it out of the primary account that you know I check all the time? And then you go edit it to Amazon in all lowercase letters. Like, it sound like this goofy didn't got a ring. And I'm like, it's probably, because at that time we were living together. And I'm like, it's in my house somewhere. like clearly my partner is not that stealthy. So, oh. So, and again, I was like searching for it. We lived together in a one bedroom apartment. I found the ring in a shoe in the closet. So I'm like, all right, we're going to give him
some time. Nope, I have questions. How'd you find it in the shoe? It's not a bad hiding spot, honestly.
Well, because I'm also the one that organizes, you know, and makes sure there's something out of place.
She is a great organizer. I will say that. Yeah, she definitely organizes.
So I go to move a shoe. It's a little heavier and shaking. And I'm like, this is goofy. So again, I'm like, we're going to give him some time. So then some time passed, he's still being weird about like the whole thing. And I was like, man, I know you got that ring up there. And then like, he was so like defeated and upset. He was just like take it then. Just put it on and just take it. And I was like, oh no, we gonna do that again. So like, you got some time to figure that out, but that's not gonna be what we do. So he, about a month later, maybe,
yeah,
or you know, less than that, he, because again, I'm not a super all out type of person. I'm not the girl that I need a photographer there. I'm very low key. So what he did was, you know, on brand for me and us. And he, you know, got like lights and balloons in our apartment. And
Pinterest again for the world.
I'm telling you, it sounds great.
And he had like, so I have, to this day, I have a love song playlist, which originated as, this was actually my first gift to Micah. On our first Valentine's Day, because again, we were frugal. And it was still new at that time, because our first Valentine's Day, we'd been dating like a month. And I wasn't trying to go all out. So I made him a list.
Oh, and she's the bomb at gift shop. you go ahead and I'll tell him.
But I made him a list of all my favorite, like, top 50 love songs. And I was like, these are songs that I love. And I was like, and also songs that, you know, maybe you think of me when you hear them. So later on, I turned that into like a Spotify playlist. And that's always been like our go-to playlist. But going back to the proposal, he had like my playlist playing when he proposed to me. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I was just scared of the way I would do it. And like she said, she is not somebody who needs, you know, photography, or she needs everybody present, or this big production. Like, she likes things that are from the heart, and she also gives things that are from the heart. Even then, and she, you know, she's still giving me credit, but I think I had on like basketball pants.
Oh yeah, no.
Basketball shorts.
So. Yes, it was low key, and I like things low key. But homeboy had on basketball shorts, and at our 50th anniversary, I'm gonna bring it up. That he didn't have the decency to put on some jeans.
She still saying it to this day. She's like, "You ain't even put on jeans, bro." She's still telling me I need another proposal.
Because he had on basketball shorts and Nike slides. And I get it that we was home, but dang.
Did you at least get down on one knee?
He did do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think I put it on the wrong finger even, because I think I got backwards. I was like, oh. But wait, I want to say, you know, we were talking about the gifts earlier, and like, she, like, it's really important that you find somebody that you appreciate and that you get have a connection for, and that you know, you find ways to be of service to others. And she was really sweet. Like, she was probably one of the nicest people that I have ever met. One year, a gift that she made, she's very creative also. She embellishes a lot, but she made I said the wrong word.
I don't know what you're trying to say. Embellish means like lies.
Oh no. I'm saying she doesn't think that she is as good as art as she is, or just being creative.
I'm modest.
Modest. Thank you. Sorry. She helps me a lot. I get confused in my words. But yeah, she created a fortunate cookie, and it was a box, like a fortune cookie box. And mm-hmm. She cut out pieces of paper.
You are so off topic right now.
And I know, I'm telling them about a gift, because I was telling them how you made the gifts. And in each fortune cookie was like just almost like affirmations of love within each fortune cookie, which was really sweet. Like, she does great things like that. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm not the best at gifts. And I'm trying to get better. But I think that is also something that's just important in terms of being able to try to learn each other's love language. I don't know if you guys are familiar, if other people talk about you know, that's something that they look up on. But I think it's important that you try to serve to your partner's love language, because if you guys have different opinions or just different differences on ideals, it's important to try to connect and communicate on those. Like, and I know that that rant is not making sense right now, so I apologize.
No, it's fine. I think the best part about our podcast is we truly like the stories that people tell about like why they love their partner. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the point of the podcast. So like, if you want to talk about how great she gives gifts, we don't hate it. We can also move back to more structured questions if you prefer.
No, it's up to you guys. Just know he gonna get a little sorry.
I'm a rant. I'm learning.
So you guys got engaged in 2016. Were you in a rush to get married, or was it just something that you also were slowly preparing and, you know,
We were not in a rush at all. I had expressed that I didn't want a super lengthy engagement. I was like, I don't want to be engaged for 10 years. But at the same time, because I wasn't the girl that always dreamt of a white dress and a wedding and things like that, like, because very early on, well, since the beginning, we always talked about getting eloped or, you know, going to the courthouse or something like that. So it was like, you know, maybe a year or maybe two. Cause if we, you know, do an elopement and we want to go somewhere on a trip or something like that, so we can save money for it. But we weren't in a rush, in that way.
So did you guys elope then?
We ultimately got married at the courthouse. Okay. A few years later.
With that, when did you guys, I know you said you had introduced him as your boyfriend and things like that, but when did you guys kind of tell your families?
I can't remember exactly when, but it was kind of like a big-ish deal for me because I had never like spoke about these things. My family would actually always ask my grandfather. He's now passed. He lived in Mississippi, but you know, when he would call every week and he'd be like, "You have a boyfriend yet?" And I'd be like, "No. Don't have one." And so when he asked one time and I was like, "Yeah," he's like, "Yeah, okay." Like he was just very excited and invested because he's like, "What's his name? What does he like to do?" Like it was very good for Micah, but the time he came in, because at that point everyone was just willing and like happy to have someone that they could like, because even my, like when I told my dad, he was like, "You know, I was starting to wonder," he's like, "You know, if you were interested in any other people, just wanted to let you know that I still love you." And I'm like, "All right." So everyone thought I was a lesbian. Like, not the fact that I just don't want to introduce y'all to randoms, but oh, okay. But I was like, "But that's super supportive. Thank you for that."
Right. You almost can't be too mad. It's like, "I'm glad you're supportive. I don't know why we always go there if it takes so long for me to get a boyfriend, right. But I'm glad you support me."
And actually, so what I consider, I think you considered this our first date, and I'm doing air quotes for the people who can't, who won't see me, is after we had been talking for those months and he came to visit me, I was watching my niece, my nephew, and my little cousin. And I was like, "Well, let's just, you know, this is the soft introduction. Let's see how they do around him." And like, I let them kind of take rule of the situation. They're like, "We're playing Monopoly and we're doing this and we're doing that." And he could have very well been like, "This is not what I came for."
And I had Monopoly.
But yeah, he was like, "Okay, we can play Monopoly." And they were, because they had never met anybody. I think my niece and my little cousin were like 7 at the time. And they were like,
"Oh, okay."
and they couldn't pronounce words, but they're like, this guy over here, he's a little auspicious. And I'm like, like, do y'all mean suspicious? They're like, mm-hmm, he all of that. Why is he here? What's his name? What's going on?
I'm sitting right there.
So they knew to an extent, though, like it was something for there to be a guy around. So they kept asking, they're like, do you have brothers? Do you have sisters? And he took it like a champ. He was just answering because, you know, another guy that may not have had pure interest would have been like, oh, girl, this is not what I want to do on a Saturday night. Like, I'm gonna go home. But he was like, no, okay, you guys want to play any other games? And so I was like, okay, you know, we see how this is going.
And I would say that comes from my brothers. Like, I have a big family. Coming from a big family, we learned how to play with each other. And, you know, even if it's something you don't want to do, sometimes you gotta do it. I appreciate the fact that she is also close to her family, because my family is really close. I can't remember exactly when she met my family, but like, she was there, right? She used to play with my brothers. They enjoyed her coming around. My mother liked her. My dad liked her. My dad don't like nobody. I believe, Monique, you remember my dad. Like, he's not a mean guy, but like, he's just like, business, all business. Like, we are associates, but like, he liked Nisha, and he would ask about her. And so I used to hang around a lot of my cousins. They were like really my closest friends. And I think one of my cousins would ask about her often as well. So I just appreciated the fact that, you know, she also wanted to be involved with my family. And then I was involved with her family. Like, her niece and her nephew were big parts of her life. And I appreciated the fact that she shared that with me. But I still have relationships with them to this day, so much so that, you know, they and I will talk. We don't necessarily have to have Nisha around and try to give them advice and things like that. But
at this point, you know, we've been together 10 years. They've known him through their formative years, and likewise with his siblings. Like, I've seen them go from middle schoolers to men. You know, he's taught my niece how to drive and helped her get her license and things like that. So, and that was, you know, again, part of the foundation early on, because in those conversations when we were talking as friends, but yeah, this was part of the, you know, foundation early on, because we would talk about like, oh, you know, I'm close with my family. And it wasn't like a, you know, because some people try to do the impress, like, okay, I'm a family person and this person, right, that. And it was, you know, just us just talking genuinely. Like, I'm like, no, you have to understand, these little kids, they rule my life. And so those were the first people that he met. Like, before he met my parents, he met my little cousin and my niece and nephew, because if they were like, we don't like this, I don't know where we'd be today.
I really love this. I love that you guys blended your families together like so much.
Yeah, we are super close. You know, over there with our baby right now is the youngest Berkeley, Chris, Chris had to be like 10 or not 10. 12 when I met him.
But Chris was little.
Like, yeah, he was a kid. And so
we talk about it, but like, we've watched each other's family also grow up. Like, mm-hmm. we've been together a long time. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing when you even want to be around each other. Like, cause you can be like, hey, your family crazy, I don't want to be around them. Like, but you know, it's just the fact that, you know, for the most part, we get along, and it's like just very enjoyable, because, you know, everybody likes to play games. And, you know, our house was like the visit spot. So everybody's family would visit our house. Everybody's family still visits our house. We still visit people. Like,
And again, because we weren't like we trying to date early on. We were friends. Like, I remember in one of our first conversations went, because, you know, you guys have known him a long time. You know, it's a lot of these Berkeleys around here. So when he told me, like, oh, it's seven of us, I literally pulled out a notebook and I was like, I wrote down names and ages. So I could, like, because I cared to, like, try to retain the information. I'm like, okay, this one's this age, this one's this age. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to try to remember this.
I love that. I love that so much.
Because, you know, I just wanted to be considerate, because I was going into this, like, oh, I'm trying to be your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, let me, I didn't want him to be like, yeah, my brother, who? You got brothers? What's their name? Like, no. So I'm like, okay, let me make sure. You know, because I'm like seven. Okay.
So I know that you guys have known each other and been with each other for a while, but did anything change after you guys kind of said, I do?
As far as saying, so I'll back up just a little, because leading up to it, like I said, we weren't necessarily in a rush to do it. But there were like a couple things that we went through. Micah's dad got sick and, you know, had passed. And then my dad got sick and we were trying to navigate that situation. And I found more value in marriage that I necessarily didn't see before. Because before I was just looking at it as, oh, this fairy tale thing, and maybe that's not what I need. But there were things like, when I was busy at work, I needed somebody to maybe call the nursing home and check on my dad. And they would say things like, oh, you're not family, or you're not the husband, so we have to speak to his daughter. Mm-hmm. And things like that put it in my mind, like, oh man, like, but this is my person. But because we don't have it, you know, on paper to say, you know, he can do these things. So I'm like, that kind of put it in a new perspective for me. I was like, maybe we need to go ahead and be married. Because even my father, like when Michael would speak on my behalf or something, because if they would ask a question like, are you family, my dad would be so offended. He'd be like, that is my son, like, yeah, why are you even asking him this question? And so that's why I'm like, okay, yeah. And to answer your question though, so at that point, when we actually got married, not much really changed, just, you know, more paperwork.
paperwork.
Because, you know, at that point too, because we were already living together, we had been together so long, we mentally were committed to each other. Like, I was Micah's beneficiary on his life insurance. Mm-hmm. If anything were to happen to him, I have all the passwords to his accounts and things like that. So it wasn't like you're just going to be left out here with nothing. So that's also why in my mind I was like, well, what is getting married going to change for us?
And that information was shared openly, right? Like, we communicated, like, you know, if anything ever happens, we need to, you know, like, are we in this? Mm-hmm. That's what we said from the beginning. And then, you know, we established things like, we need to be open. We need to communicate. We need, like, she's big on communication. Like, that's one thing I think I struggle with a lot sometimes, but she is my better half, because she is able to not only understand me, but she's able to also communicate great. And we communicate great with each other. You know, it's a learning process. Mm-hmm. There's going to be conflicts and misunderstandings at times, but I appreciate the fact that she still to this day likes to sit down and have conversations on just us, you know, communicating and understanding each other. And I apologize. I forgot the question. What was the question again?
It's okay. Well,
what was the question? Oh, if anything had changed after marriage.
Yeah.
So nothing changed. I think we just, it was the same, because we were already doing those things from the beginning, because it was quite intentional. So it was just paperwork.
am. And to his point, though, like it was, we were that way because, you know, Micah's parents were married a number of years. My parents weren't married a number of years, but my parents also ultimately divorced. So, and I consider myself an observer. And because I like to understand people and relationships, I knew the things that didn't work. So, and the things that worked. And so I'm like, well, this is what we're going to do. And especially when you're living with someone, because at that point, to me, you have to be all in. Like, my home depends on this relationship, like my livelihood. So at that point, we were already all in, you know, communicating these things and trying to make sure we're not repeating some of the mistakes that we've seen in our parents' relationships, you know, trying to make sure we're doing it the best that we can for our situation.
And so I know you guys say that you guys have a child. What was that transition like from just being husband and wife to becoming mom and dad?
Woo. It's been a ride. much like marriage, motherhood also was kind of one of those things. I'm like, you know, I had my cat life planned out. I wasn't planning on parenthood. So for us, it was, you know, definitely a surprise for us. And then we were tasked with trying to figure out the situation in real time. And not only a surprise because I was, you know, didn't see myself as a mother, but I had some gynecological issues to where I had been told it'd be very hard for me to have a child. Oh, so wow. Way before I ever met Micah, I had, you know, came to terms with that. Like that's part of why I was the super aunt is because I didn't think I'd ever be someone's mother. Mm-hmm. So then when I say real time, it's like, oh, now you're pregnant. Like, oh, I can have kids. Like, whoa, okay, we got a whole different situation going on now. Okay, right? let's figure this out. And for me, you know, I didn't have a storybook pregnancy. It was a little difficult. And then I had a difficult delivery. And so we're still trying to navigate that. He's only 9 months old now. So still figuring out real time. And granted, we both come from, well, I shouldn't say we both come from big families. One of us comes from big families. But I had also been around, you know, children in my lifetime, my niece, my nephew, my little cousins.
Are you trying to say we've both been around children?
We've been around children, but time had lapsed since we had been around these children. Like,
and then what you also tend to forget is, you know, those aren't your children. So while you are, you know, watching them and paying attention to them when they're not in your full custody and care, you know, like, are you really?
Somebody else's problem.
Like, take your kid back. Somebody take this kid back.
Right. And really the time, because Michael would love to say like, oh, you know, I, because he was a teenager when the three of his youngest siblings were born. And he will say like, oh, you know, I helped out and did this and that. And I'm like, my boy's grown now. And likewise with me, because I was, you know, very involved with my niece and nephew, but my nephew's 21. I have a great nephew. Ooh. Like, so it was like, we about to have a what now? A baby. I was like, I'm so, like, literally for months, I just kept saying while I was pregnant, I'm like, I'm somebody's great aunt. Like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And so it was a little more challenging. You know, everybody's situation is different. So I don't want to say a little more challenging, but those were some of my challenges that like, oh, I didn't realize I could have a baby. Oh, okay. I've dealt with grown babies. Now I got a baby. And it's like, it was a lot of reckoning with those things. And then trying to, you know, come to common ground. And I think the thing, like we still struggle sometimes with some things, but the thing that helps us is because we've always talked to each other. Like there may be something that, you know, Micah does that I don't like or I don't appreciate, but I'm not one to like let it fester or anything like that. And because of how we've always been open communicators, 2 seconds later, I'm like, I don't appreciate that you did this. Or like, it may be like 30 minutes later, he's like, are you still mad? I'm like, mad about what?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I'm talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
So how do you guys make time for each other now that you have a 9-month around?
We still try to figure out things that we can do either with him or sometimes we'll lean on family to babysit. We still try to find dates, like a couple of dates that we had this year. That was before. I apologize.
Well, we still, sometimes we may do things, but, you know, now the baby is involved. And it's not like, oh, we've got this burdenous child with us. I think it does help sometimes, like when we're doing things, because it's a reminder like, oh, this is the baby that love made. Like, I can remember how much in love I was with you at the time. And it, you know, brings us closer, because sometimes, you know, I'm looking at him like, do you believe we made this guy? Like, we made this guy. But, you know, it's still pretty challenging to find time. But we may do things like, you know, if one of us is in the room with the baby, trying to put the baby to bed, I'm coming in there with you. Like, yes. Wherever Micah is in the house, I'm coming. And I'm going to be right up under him talking to him. Or, you know, we may have a family cuddle. Like, if he,
big cuddlers.
Because if I'm holding the baby, he is trying to come cuddle with both of us. And, you know, little things like that. Or if we're riding somewhere together, you know, just talking to one another. Baby might be in the car asleep. And, you know, I feel it is important to have some alone time, but at the same time, it isn't like what we're doing right now is detrimental to our relationship. Because I know some people feel like, oh, you know, we've had this baby, we've lost this spark. Well, you know, we've always been homebodies. We enjoy each other's company. Yes. We like watching movies at home. We like cooking together. Yes. And so now the baby is just present with those things. Like, you know, we set up his high chair in the kitchen. You're going to get this lesson about what's being cooked in here.
Like, hey, I was teaching him how to water the plants. Like, you know, we have these conversations and we do these things. You know, Nisha was like, talk to him, tell him what you're doing. And she was naming the plants, and like, we like time together. And I think, again, it just helps because we established that, you know, going back early in the relationship when we had that time apart to be able to just talk, communicate with each other, like, that helped. Like, sometimes I'm amazed at how we still find things to talk about. Like, but when you care about that person so much, you find new things and you learn. Like, we're still learning things about each other to this day. Like, we don't know everything about each other. So I don't want to say that or lead that on either. But like, I really enjoy my better half and the relationship that I have built with Nisha. It's been fun.
All right, but now it's over.
She's always trying to leave me.
I am.
So where do you guys see yourself in like 5 years, 10 years?
You know, I still, well, you know, let Micah tell it, I'm never leaving. we'll still be together, because at the, you know, it sounds cliche, but he is my best friend. Like, even in the early days when I'd be like, oh, let me tell him about my day, I'm still like, let me tell you what happened. And a lot of times he'll be like, I was sitting right there. Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you anything.
Yes. Big communicators. We talk on speakerphone with each other's families. Like, we...
Because I don't want to repeat stories.
The phone is always on speaker. So, like, everybody is always talking at the same time. And it's always a conversation going on. Like, we call different people and are having these conversations with each other. Like...
And just a callback to what I was saying, or what we both were saying about our families kind of being so intertwined. Like, it's bigger than us, though, at this point. Like, so even if we're like... Which I don't foresee, like, oh, you know, I'm not in love with you anymore. Like, it's like my mom calls him son, my niece be on the phone with him, asking him questions. Like, we are.
My brother don't even call me. He call her.
I am everyone's favorite Berkeley. which, ironically, my last name is not Berkeley, but they all, his siblings, you know, look, he's telling the truth. If they needed something, or even if they have a question, or they call it me, not him. So that's part of, you know, why we ultimately got married. We couldn't see a future where that wasn't our life, where we're not talking to each other, where we're not, you know, with each other or there for each other. We could not see that. It doesn't make sense.
So, Micah and Nisha, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time out to come and talk to us. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate you guys being open and honest and letting us into your relationship a little bit. But before we let you guys go, we have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
No. I've been waiting for this question.
She has been waiting for this question.
All right, but I will elaborate. So for us, yes. It was worth it. But I think a lot of people try, like, even I have friends and family, they're like, we want what you guys have. You guys seem like you're perfect for each other. And I hate that. Like, it's like, no.
It takes time and effort.
And not only that, we weren't looking for this. Like, it happened, and it was undeniable that that's the direction it was going. But I hate when people are just like, no, I need to find somebody who's going to do X, Y, Z. And it's like, no, you can't find someone and put them, like, it's like you're trying to hire somebody for a position. Like, this is what I want them to do. I want them to do X, Y, Z, and I'm going to hire you. And while they may be qualified to do X, Y, Z, that's not who they are. That's their job. You want them to perform a job. I am with my partner, good, bad, or indifferent, like, and he happens to do these things. So for some people, marriage may not be worth it. Like I said, I was perfectly content, going to be a cat lady. And that was okay for me because I don't feel validated by our relationship. Our relationship is a compliment to who I am as a person. Like, I am a complete person with or without my husband. Like, I love and have fun with my husband, but marriage is not the end all be all for people. And I think a lot of people focus on that. Even people in my life, you know, because they were so happy that I had a boyfriend finally. Like, I'm out here chilling. Like, leave me alone. But that's because people see, like, oh, you need to be married. And, you know, when we found out we were pregnant, everyone was so excited because they felt like we had to have a baby. We needed, oh, you're married, you need to have this, you need to. And those things are not necessarily true. Like, you can still be a complete person.
People don't like when you ask them when they're having babies. Like, mind your business.
No. Yes. Like, mind your business, mind your uterus.
Absolutely.
About that. but for us, in our situation, like, I had, this wouldn't be without anyone else. Like, it wasn't like I was looking, or it's like, oh, well, this relationship didn't work. Let me find out somebody else who I can then fit into this puzzle. It just happens that this is my person. This is who I feel happy with. This is who I connect with. So for us, it was worth it.
Yeah. And I would say I am on the other side. I did think it was worth it. Like, but one thing. Oh, you said it wasn't worth it.
No, I said it's worth it.
Okay.
You see, this is why I'm getting divorced.
Well, I agree. Yes, it is worth it. Like, I think I had the wrong idea initially about it, as she said. And I think it helped because, you know, seeing her parents not communicate and wanting to make sure, like, we were open and honest and, you know, talk to each other about our issues and, you know, differences. And I had in my family relationships that really didn't do that. I just thought, you know, marriage is the thing. You're supposed to get married. But I appreciated her for showing me these things and I understood them and I wanted to do them, right? Because I had seen these relationships and I seen these relationships weren't necessarily the happiest. You know, people were just together because that's the thing to do. You get married, you stay with your partner, you don't divorce them. But it's been an enjoyment and just, you know, learning to grow with each other every day. Her not killing me, I appreciate you.
You're welcome. People go to jail for that. I'm not trying to share a shower. Mm-hmm. I've weighed the pros and cons.
Bro, sharing a shower, that's the worst part. I have to tap out of that immediately. Crazy.
And listen, I have natural hair. I don't know if they're going to let me use the shampoos I want to use in jail. I can't.
I'm sure they're expensive.
And nobody's going to put nothing on my book.
Always the comedian this way. I told y'all, she's funny. And she is not joking.
Well, again, thank you, Micah and Nisha, for being on our podcast. Is there any projects that you have that you might want to promote, businesses, anything like that?
Well, no projects currently. We do have a shared Instagram, Two Vegans, One Love. We just go ahead and throw that out there because the pastor did embarrass us a few weeks ago by announcing it in church. And, you know.
Rude.
So, but with that said, that is something that we do want to do more things with because we are both very passionate about the food that we eat and the food that our Black people put into their bodies. So we had started it with the goal to show people veganism can be fun and
filling.
And filling. And, you know, Micah enjoys cooking and things. So it was also something that we can do together, but also share and educate our peers. So that is something hopefully, you know, once we learn how to be parents, that we will give more time to.
Priorities.
Absolutely.
You know, keeping the little human alive for 9 months without incident.
Well, you can follow our podcast at Marriage Worth It on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook and TikTok. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?